are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Now, some of you are joining us for the very, very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you are here. I think you will be, too. And I'm glad to be back. I have to tell you that. I am absolutely delighted to be back. I had the opportunity to go out to Hollywood and spend some time at a world premiere for a new movie, a Jose Escamilla movie. The Jose Escamilla movie is called Moon Rising. I got a chance to go out to the premiere and cover that. Got a chance to be with some real leaders in the UFO community. Stephen Bassett was there. Dr. Roger Lear was there. And a whole lot of other people. And just got an opportunity to meet and talk with a lot of them. But I also got to meet some new people, and that's a good thing. I got to meet and talk with people that really had some very, very interesting stories to tell. And the interesting story to tell was, in some cases, pretty amazing. And I have brought at least one of those back because I want to share it with you. We're going to be enjoying the information from Mr. William Rayling. I know it looks like rolling, but it's not. It's Rayling. And his father, the deal is that his father was security at NASA Ames Research Center. And he told William, when he was 13 years old, some pretty interesting stuff. Stuff that William is going to share with us. And I think it's going to be really, really special. In fact, I know it is because I've already heard it. Now, I don't normally pre-record. However, Bill Rayling is traveling as I speak to you right now. And, of course, at the time I was traveling, I was out of town. And so I pre-recorded the interview. I went ahead and recorded the interview with Bill Rayling. A lot of you have thought for a long time that NASA or maybe the military, somebody has a UFO that has been recovered, and maybe several of them. Well, we're going to hear a bit about that tonight. And in addition to that, if we have time, I had the chance to meet personally Ed Grimsley, and I got a chance to interview him as well. If we have time tonight, I'll bring that to you as well, because there's some pretty good information in that interview as well. So it's going to be a big night, and I think it's going to be a night that you will remember because of the information that we're going to bring. Now, for some unknown, strange, odd reason, My computer screen on this side has locked up, but we're going to get through this. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. I'll bring you the interview with Bill Rehling. All right, folks, here is the drill for this evening. I want you to hear what William Rehling has to say. William Rehling is a friend of Ed Grimsley's. And while I was out in Hollywood, I got to meet him. And as we started talking, he shared with me some of his story. And I have only gotten just a little bit of it. In this interview, there is so much more, but I was able to videotape this interview with him. Now, let me tell you this. In the interview, it says I'm in Burbank. I thought I was. I was a few blocks from Burbank. I was actually in North Hollywood, but I was a few blocks away from Burbank. I didn't know I had crossed the border, if you will. So anyway, that part of it isn't accurate. Everything else is as it should be. And I want to take you now to this interview with Bill Rehling.
Hi, folks. This is Kevin Smith, and I'm speaking to you from Burbank, California. For those of you who don't know where Burbank, California is, think Los Angeles. Think Hollywood, that area. I had the privilege last night of attending the premiere of Moon Rising. Moon Rising is the new Jose Escamilla film, and I'll tell you what, there's some stuff in it I have never seen before. And I think it was a good movie. Like all movies, it had mixed reviews. Some loved it, some didn't think too much of it. But overall, most people really liked it. I give it an 8.9 to a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 would be perfect. And, well, you know, there's always a little something we wish we would have seen in there. So 8.9, 9, somewhere along there, really worth seeing. Now, one of the people that has been involved with that project is Ed Grimsley. And a friend of Ed Grimsley's is seated right next to me right here. This is William Rehling. We had the opportunity to talk about some of the things that he has seen and experienced. And I wanted to share some of that with you. William, let's start off by let me just say welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
Now, William, you told me some things about UFOs and your experience with them. But one of the things that you told me about, and we'll get to it, had to do with something your dad told you. But let's go back beyond that. Let's talk about your first experience with UFOs, the first time you saw something that was in the sky and you couldn't explain it.
Well, I was coming home from school. I was 9 years old. I was close to my house. I just happened to look up, and between two cumulus clouds, I saw a white object. It looked like a sailor's hat, white sailor's hat, and it shot into the cloud. I stopped and I looked up, but I waited, and pretty soon it shot to the other cloud. And I continued walking home, and I saw it one more time, and that was it. I went in and I told my father about it, and he said, "Don't worry about it, it's nothing. Just go do your homework." And that was that.
All right, now let me break in right here, and because I want people to get this.
Okay.
What was your father doing at the time? What was his job?
My father at the time worked for Ames NASA in Mountain View. He was in security, internal security. And he was pretty adamant about me just forgetting about it and moving on.
Okay.
And a couple of years later, I was up hiking in the hills. I was about 11 years old. And as I was hiking up in the hills, I also saw something else in the cloud. And it was more of a grayish, black, metallic-looking thing. And as I looked up, it went into the cloud. And I thought that was odd. So I stopped, and I was watching, and I saw it come out of the cloud again, then go back as if it was watching me or it was hiding from me. It was a strange thing.
How big was it?
It was about the size of a car. seen about that size, but you know, I was young. And before I walked down, I saw it go into another cloud, and that's the last I saw. They kind of gave me the creeps. And so I went home. My father was home. I told him about that. And he said, don't worry about it. It's no problem. I'll talk to you later on when you get a little older. And that's the last I heard of that.
Now, was he still working for Ames NASA at that time?
No, he was no longer with them. He was with the Santa Clara County Sheriff's Department. He was a detective at that time. He spent a couple of years with NASA, but he moved on to something else. And from which he got the job through my uncle, Harry Hornby, who was a top administrator at NASA at the time. And when I turned 13, my father sat me down one night, and he told me that he wasn't going to live a long life, and he wanted to tell me some things, and it was important for me to know, and don't worry about my health. I said, okay. So he sat down. I thought he was going to talk about the birds and the bees, and he said, actually, it has to do with what you saw when you were a child, the thing that went in the cloud a couple of different times. I said, yeah. He goes, well, I want you to know that those were UFOs, and they are real. I want you to know. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, on top of that, I've seen one. So they had one in Mountain View, in Sunnyvale, Ames NASA. They had one in a auditorium, a hangar below the ground. He said he saw that several times, and he also saw pictures of what was in it when they found it. It had, you know, crashed. It was in good shape, though. Anyway, he also mentioned that at one time he was able to stand and look at it. It was about 30 feet in diameter. It was a silvery, really silvery, almost liquid-looking silver. He said, it almost like you can put your finger through it like mercury, but actually it seemed like a shell. And later on he found out that the shell actually spun, and it was one of those ships that doesn't do jumping. It actually flies at high speeds, and eventually, if there's friction buildup, the faster it turns, the less friction it's going to have as it's going wherever. In the meantime, he said, there's another reason why you can tell if it's a back-engineered or a real alien craft, which is he was able to see inside of it, and on the outside it was 30 feet in diameter. When you on the inside, it looked like the size of a basketball stadium. He said it was absolutely huge, a small basketball stadium, and it was absolutely huge.
Well, what did he have any explanation for how that could be? It looks like 30 feet in diameter. You look inside, and it looks like a basketball stadium. Any explanation for how that can be?
Well, it was a different dimension. It's a dimensional thing. That's why they called it alien. It's a complete different technology. We had no idea of how it worked, but it was a different dimension inside than it was on the outside.
Have you ever heard of this television series called Doctor Who?
Yes.
And Doctor Who has this thing, you know, that it looks, he calls it the TARDIS. It looks like a telephone booth, but when you open it and go in, it's almost infinitely big.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember that now. And once you're on the inside, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that is what they called alien at the time, because they had no idea about the technology and how it worked. He was able to see inside of it, and he was also telling me that there was a round center, and there were four chairs, well, four seats, and they faced out. And how they flew it, there was no buttons, whistles, and steering wheels. It actually, it had a crown that went on the head, a band. And also, there was a panel that came out and laid down. They put their hands on the panel. And the panel had six fingers, by the way. And it picked up from here and the hands, with all four of them flying it. They all had their own job, I guess. And it took it wherever they wanted to go. Also, he was able to see in the upper part. On the outside, you couldn't tell that, but the upper part, there was a room, and when you went in, there were some bumps on the walls. And if you wave your hand past one of the bumps, a three-dimensional view of other universes came up, galaxies and things we've never seen. They were able to find and figure out where they came from, but it was a three-dimensional, as if you're standing inside a universe. And it was absolutely incredible, he said. And he didn't spend much time in it, but he was quite amazed. And he wanted me to know that They are here. They've always been here. And they're good in general. And do what you can do to learn more about them, because you will have other experiences I want you to know.
All right. Now, in this upper room where there were these bumps on the wall, was there anything else up in that upper room?
That's all I could remember at the time, which was, like I said, they would go and study at universes and galaxies, and that's all I can really recall at the moment.
All right. Now, sometime after that, your dad passed away.
Yes, he did. He passed away. And after my father passed away, I went to see my uncle. And because, like I said, he worked for NASA, and he was the top administrator there. And I went to his house, and I told him the story my father told me. And my uncle was the kind of guy you'd have to follow around while he was doing things, always chewing an apple. He put his hand on my shoulder afterwards, and he goes, he actually tell you that. I'm really surprised. Has your father ever lied to you, Bill? I said, no. He says, I wouldn't. Why would you doubt them? And he was dead serious, looked me in the eye, and said, that's all I can tell you. And so it was nice to see Bill. And that was actually the last time I saw my uncle. He passed away a couple years after that. They moved away.
So how did you take that? Did you take that to mean that he was confirming that your father, what he had told you was accurate, or how did you take it?
Absolutely. It was accurate, and it was there. He, you know, the way he looked me in the eyes, put his hand on my shoulder, he knew I understood that, that I had it, and later in life I would learn a heck of a lot more. He was an inspiration to me. He was a big inspiration. He ended up going into lots of different fields in NASA, and fuels, and developing tiles for the space shuttle and things for the space station also, on top of his normal administrative job.
All right, now, that's a pretty amazing story. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you could... That's a good plot for a movie, actually. But now, let me ask you this question. Your father spoke to you about this, told you all about this. You had it confirmed to you by your uncle, and that was not the end of the line for you and UFOs. You've had some other experiences, right?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, a little after I saw my uncle, I was at a small party in Mountain View, and some people I knew, and there were a lot of people sitting around. I struck up a conversation with a young man. I was dressed nice, a little bit different from the rest of the crowd. He was kind of nerdy looking, but a nice guy. And he said he worked for Ames NASA. And I said, really? And I mentioned to him about what my father told me. And he jumped out of his chair. And he said, oh, my God, you know about it, too. I said, well, yeah, tell me about it. And he told me pretty much the same story as I knew, which was they had a UFO in there. And there were beings in it one time that were dead. And we confirmed the stories, how they flew it and the upper room. And he was so pleased because he said, you don't understand how it is when you're not supposed to talk about it. And he wants everybody in the world to know that we're not alone. And it's frustrating. And he had to hold it in. And he wasn't about to sink to anybody until I broke the ice and mentioned that. And he changed after that. He said it was the greatest thing he's ever done, just to talk to someone that acknowledged what he always knew since he had been studying and working there.
So what do you think? Do you think that this UFO, this object, is still there?
I would think so. I would think so. You know, they obviously back engineered a lot of stuff, but they've done that in other crashed UFOs around the world, from what I understand. Like I said, at that time, which was in late 70s, probably 1978, 79, and it was there then, and they received it in the 40s. So if they had that all that time, I would expect it would still be down. They have a lot of space underground. They're under the city, under the bay. They have a lot of things going on under there. That's not the only place either. There are, you know, other bases like that.
So they got plenty of room to do that and to carry on the research and so forth. Have you, since all of that happened, have you had any other experiences with unidentified flying objects, anything in the sky that was just weird and you couldn't explain it?
Well, I had another experience, and this was in 2005. And I was driving on Highway 280, going past Stanford University one evening about 9 o'clock, right past the Stanford Linear Accelerator. And I had unrolled my windows as I was driving, and out of the corner of my eye, two round things flew in. It happened so fast, it was instantaneous. There were two round objects the size of ping pong balls. They hit me on my temple, and they went through my head and out the other side. I know it sounds crazy. It's very difficult to talk about, but it happened. It happened instantaneously. And when it happened, I didn't know what it was. I rolled my windows up. I kept driving and started trying to think about the experience. And it was the strangest feeling I'd ever felt in my life. It felt like energy. It was tingling from temple to temple, but inside my head, it was tingling. And it was a very soft feeling. It was nothing hard or bad about it. It didn't scare me. It surprised me. And it was actually kind of a nice feeling. It was very, very, very odd. And anyway, I went home to my apartment, got to San Francisco, and I thought about telling my roommates, but I didn't know if they'd believe me, and I was still trying to figure it out myself. So I got out of my car, and I went to the other side, opened my driver's door to get my bags out, and there was one still in my vehicle. And it just took off like a bat out of hell. And I was shocked, and I was kind of saddened, because if I had that, people would believe me. I didn't know what to tell people. It was such a strange experience.
All right, now you say these were two objects about the size of a ping pong ball. Mm-hmm. But other than that, what did they look like?
They were, like I said, the size of a ping pong ball, and they were dark brownish black, and they looked like they had fuzz fur on them. And like I said, when they hit me, they felt like they collapsed. And the feeling felt like they went through a wormhole is what it felt like. They compressed and slid through and popped out. It was all so fast and instantaneous. This is, you know, what I figured out later on how it was. Anyway, after that happened, the next morning I got up and I was going to tell my roommates. And I just couldn't do it. I gave it up for the day. So I was going to work. Went outside, got my bag, opened my door, and the other one was in there. I had no idea. It flew out, kind of like a bird, just getting out of there. It took off, and there was a person walking by my truck at the same time. They just kind of looked and looked the other direction. They couldn't tell what it was, but I just shook my head and said, I don't know what it was. And the guy just scratched his head and kept walking. And I held it back for about a couple more months, and I talked to my roommates, started telling them about it, and they don't even believe in ghosts, so it was difficult for them to comprehend. And as I started getting these weird looks, I just kept it to myself, and I held on to that for a while. I started doing research, lots of research, and it took a while, but I found that there are some other kind of creatures in on this world, but it's a dimensional form of life, and it's through the infrared ultraviolet spectrum. There's a man whom is famous for his work in that field. His name is Trevor Constable Jones, and he has a book out that has pictures of some of those in it also. And I started to find his teachings and writing in the internet, and he had pictures of many, many different creatures in the same field, and sure as heck, there were some of those in there too. So they're a little bit larger, and there was really large ones. But I met someone recently, two years ago. His name was Ed Grimsley. And I struck up a friendship with him through the internet and on the phone.
All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are in the middle of an interview that I had the privilege of conducting with William Rayling, Bill Rayling, out in North Hollywood over this past weekend. And I think you're probably hearing some things that you may not have heard before. But Bill asked me and repeated it on the telephone to me this afternoon. He asked that I put his email address on the screen so that if you have had any experience similar to what he's talking about, then he would like to hear from you, all right? So in this next segment, we'll get that up there. All right, let's go back to the interview.
Had an experience, physical experience with these. And so he said he wanted to talk to me later about that and do some interviews and possibly put me in contact with Trevor Constable Jones also.
Now, just for clarification, is it Trevor Constable Jones or Trevor James Constable?
Trevor James Constable. I apologize.
Yeah, I thought so. And but now, he was at the premiere of Moon Rising last night.
Yes, he was. And he introduced me to Trevor James Constable. And very, very nice gentleman, very stately, intelligent. And I mentioned to him about, I was happy to have met him. And I had an experience, so I wanted to talk to him about it. He said, oh, yeah, I know all about those. And I said I had a physical experience with one. He goes, oh, yeah. A few people I have in NASA, they were doing big studies on it. Through him also, he was part of the study, and there are actual biological creatures that basically live off the energies of the Earth. Is how they sustain themselves, and they have lots and lots of different looks and sizes, and they look like nightmares. Most of them do. There are shapes that look like nothing anybody could ever imagine in their mind. And some look like potatoes that you bake in the oven with little eyes in them, and they have eyes. And they can be the size of a potato or the size of a mountain. They're incredible, and they're huge. There was one that looked like an alligator's head. I saw that years ago, and I thought that was a picture of a strange alien craft, but it was actually one of those creatures also.
So these are not crafts. These are actually living entities, living creatures.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's sort of wrap up. Where do you go from here with this? Are you nervous about talking about this with people?
Not much now. Not compared to how it was before, because now I have knowledge of what they are. And I've been given some new literature about the whole phenomena. And I am going to focus on this new phenomena in my research. I want to back off UFOs a little bit and get into this more. Because it's a brand new field, and there's so much to learn about it. And I would like to be one of the people that can be asked questions, help people if they go through the same thing. But it was a beautiful experience. The feeling that left in my head, it was there for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And it eventually went away. Whenever I talk about it, just like right now, I can feel it in my head. Just like I said, like a wormhole. And it's energy that's been left off them. And the more we know about it, the more I learn, I'll let you know more about it as time goes on. But it is definitely a real thing, a real phenomenon. And there's a lot more literature out there, but not easily available. And I'm going to find out more about it, and I'll let you know when I have more answers for you.
All right. William Rayling. And William is from California, at least now.
Yes, I live in Monterey Bay area by Santa Cruz, California. It's called La Selva Beach. And for the last 2 years, I've been researching the new phenomena, which is the night vision UFO field, which was pretty much discovered by Ed Grimsley and spread out by him. And it's something you should really look into, night vision UFOs. It's in the Internet. And he'll tell you more about it. I'm sure you're going to be talking to him soon. It's an incredible, incredible experience. And I tell anybody if they have a chance to get in contact with him because he does have sky watches with these night vision devices.
Let me ask you, because you've actually been in some of these sky watches,
mm-hmm.
and you have some night vision goggles yourself.
Yes.
Let's call a spade here.
Okay.
And you didn't know I was going to ask you this, so let's just do it.
Okay.
Is Ed Grimsley lying, or can you see these things?
Oh, no, he's lying. No, he's 100%. He's 100% real. I had reservations, first of all, but I saw some of the videos he had put out, and it was in the internet. And right away, I wanted to find out more about it. And he's the first person in the field that I've ever seen that left his phone number, given his phone number in the internet. And this guy has been swamped for 2 years since he did it. But we struck up a friendship over the phone, and because I understood a lot of what he was doing in the and I studied it all my life, this UFO field, we got together for some of his sky watches, and it's incredible, you know.
So you've seen, through the night vision, you have seen,
yes,
UFOs.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have. And
how do you know it's not birds?
Well, you can pretty much see birds and what they are. These things were up in the upper atmosphere. These particular kind of night vision glasses, it's like flicking on a switch. You can see everything all the way up in the upper atmosphere, 150, 200 miles up. And you can see what's up there. There weren't a lot of them. There were only a few because inland is where they are, not by the water. I live on the coast. But we followed these things. We looked at them, and some of them were really rickety. They kind of shot back and forth and slowed and went fast. And Ed told me that they get shot down a lot, which is one way to tell if it's one of ours or one of theirs. And one of theirs is an actual extraterrestrial craft. And I've learned
that. How are they shaped?
These particular ones were small discs. You can see the shape. With really good night vision glasses, you can actually see the shape of them. These were two small discs. And what we do is, it's hard for someone else to see them, even though they have the glasses, unless you take a laser and you try to spot it with the laser, then people can follow the laser up and they can see what you're talking about. From there, I've seen huge, huge motherships, huge. In other words, I stand on a mountain, I look to San Francisco from Monterey. You imagine those little tiny buildings over there. I mean, you can't even hardly see them. That's 100 miles away. The tallest buildings. You look up in the sky, and it's supposed to be about 150, 200 miles up. And these things are huge. I mean, they're big around this. You imagine, they're bigger than some of these buildings. They're huge. And
now, how do you know that's not satellites?
Satellites have a completely different look. First of all, they're on one path, and they're slow. And you can see the shape of them. They spin, they move. And you see them going around and around. These things have direction. The UFOs, they move and they go in different directions. They veer, they make turns.
And so they don't just follow a straight path.
No. Satellites don't do that. For what I know, they don't. They may be able to stop and go, but there aren't that many up there that move anyway. Most of them are fixed. And these things are intelligently driven. You see them going by other UFOs, and they flash each other. They light up like someone's turning the lights on. Other UFOs, and they flash each other. They light up like someone's turning the lights on, saying, "Hey guys, how you doing, baby?" It's quite humorous seeing these things, and they have intelligence. And I heard that we have our own up there also, which is why I say us. It's us or theirs, and supposedly the Russians have their own, we have our own, and they basically have a small turf war up there, and they're in cahoots with the extraterrestrials that are with us, the good ones, and they are also looking for the ones that don't need to be here. And there's a huge, incredible stories about that, but Ed will tell you that when you sit and talk with him. And like I said, every night I go out and I watch for about an hour. And I see a big movement of them about 6:45 to 7:15 every single night. And all you got to do is look up in the sky. The Big Dipper at the end of the handle in that area right there, they just appear. There's just blackness, and suddenly they just turn on like a light. 5, 6, 7, sometimes 10 or 12 of them. And when you look at them with the good night vision glasses, they actually have a little bit different glow than stars do. And after a while, you can see there's a difference. So I watch the ones that have a different look, and eventually they flash, which they power up, and then they start taking off. That's how I find them. And it's quite an exciting field, and a lot of people are starting to open their eyes up, thanks to Ed Grimsley.
Well, I had hoped that we would be able to do some sky watching out here on this trip. But I think you can verify this. It's been raining for 2 days out here. It's overcast tonight, and it's been raining all afternoon. So we're not going to get to do any sky watching on this trip. But we got next best thing, and that is somebody who does sky watching, and you learned it from Ed Grimsley.
Mm-hmm.
And you've shared with us that it is real. Also, folks, Ed Grimsley's movie, UFO Wars. Look, you got to get it. It's a DVD. In this DVD, you're going to see through the night vision scope some of these UFOs. You will see in that video that these are not satellites. These are not stars. You can see stars. You can see satellites sometimes. But what you will see UFOs flying in formation. And, you know, they move together. They maneuver together. They move fast. Well, see it for yourself and make your own decision. I can tell you that I've seen it. I've seen it several times. And what Ed says about it is what he said about it. And I'm telling you, it's what I've seen in the video, in the DVD. So from Burbank, California, Kevin Smith and William Rayling.
EdGrimsley.com. Take a look at him.
Yeah, EdGrimsley.com.
All right. Welcome back to our studio here in the big metropolis of Mesa, Arizona. Now, some of you are saying, oh, I thought you were in Phoenix. Well, see, when I say Mesa, most of you don't know where that is. It's a suburb of Phoenix. I am in the Phoenix area. All right, now, when we will take a break here in about a minute or so, and when we come back on the other side of the break, I'm going to share with you, I'll begin sharing with you, my interview with Ed Grimsley. It really was a privilege to get to meet him in person. And, you know, he's been on the show several times, but it really was a privilege to get to meet him in person and to be able to look him in the eyes as we talked and to ask him the questions. And he's a great guy. He really is. He, in person, he's just like he sounds when he's on the show. He's just easygoing and just a great guy. we actually did get to do some sky watching after the, I think it was the next night. The next night, yeah, the next night, which would have been Sunday night, the clouds broke momentarily, just for a little bit, and we got to do a little bit of sky watching. This show is carried by iRadio LA, Indy 104 out in Los Angeles. The owner and general manager of the station came by and visited with me, and we did a little bit of sky watching together. So I might even get some of that in. We'll see. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Let me tell you that a lot of you have been waiting, anxiously awaiting, for us to get those DVDs in from Ed Grimsley. Well, we've gotten them in, And it's called UFO Wars. And on this DVD that you've heard us talking about, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. You'll be able to see these UFOs flying in formation. And it's really worth getting your hands on. I can tell you that I reserved some of those at a discounted price for our members who are, you know, subscribing members to our members area. And that's part of the deal. Part of the deal when you're a member is, you know, we try to get you special discounts on some of this stuff that that comes along. And we did, and all of those, within a matter of about 2 hours, were sold out. They're gone. We still have some at regular price, and they're going to go rapidly as well. But if you want one, you need to go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. You'll see in the upper right-hand corner a picture of the cover of the DVD. Just click on it. It'll take you to the page where you can purchase your copy. Let me say to those members who have already purchased the DVD, they are already packaged up, addressed, and will go in the mail tomorrow. So you should be getting them within a day or two, depending on where you live. Those of you who live outside the United States, maybe, you know, a few days, but it's on the way, all right, or it will be in the morning. All right, I had the opportunity, as I said, to sit down and talk with Ed Grimsley. And I want to begin that interview even before we get into the next hour. We'll get a little bit of it in. Because I want us to have some time at the end of the show where you can call in with your questions or comments about what we have experienced here this evening. So let's go to the interview with Ed Grimsley.
This is Kevin Smith in Burbank, and actually right at this moment, I'm out on the balcony of the hotel room here with Ed Grimsley. And so pardon the lighting. The lighting is, it is what it is. But Ed Grimsley is with me, and he is the night vision guy. You know Ed Grimsley from previous shows that we've done. Ed, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hi, glad to be back, and glad to meet you. And I don't think you're half as bad as I've heard.
Ed, let's just start out with talking a little bit about this movie that you were one of the executive producers of. It's called Moon Rising. We had the premiere last night here in, well, in the same complex where they do the Academy Awards. And it got mixed reviews. But that's to be expected because you get 100 people, 200, 300, 500 people together. They're not all going to have the same opinion. But it got very high reviews, rave reviews, really, from a technical aspect. Great music, great scenery. Some people said that on the content side, they didn't see anything that was different from what they already knew. And I find that hard to believe because I look at these kinds of photographs every single day, 7 days a week. People are sending me videos. People are sending me photographs and saying, look at this, look at that. And this movie provided me some information I had never seen before. What do you think?
Well, the thing about the movie is he had a lot of good things in there and a lot of good music with the showing of the film. But at the last minute before the movie premiere, a couple days before, people were putting it together and doing the technicolor parts of it and the things that they needed to do. And something went wrong with some equipment and some of the film got messed up. So there wasn't time to re-edit it, remake it, or reshoot it. And so we had to go with the flow and put it out. And Jose really worked hard and he was intense. He went through a lot of stress and I got to hand it to him. He put it together to where many people really was amazed with it. Some people said, oh, well, I don't think it was what it could have been. And, you know...
But in fairness, that was a very small number of the people that were at the premiere. But in fairness, we have to say that a few of them said that. But I saw things in this movie that I had never seen. And the most amazing thing that I saw was a NASA photograph, folks, that they called the blank because it looks like there's nothing there. NASA even labeled it the blank. And yet when they did some enhancement that can be done now digitally, what you see is a huge pyramid.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that there's pyramids on the moon and that there's other mining things going on. And a lot of it's been covered up and hidden. And as well as the fact that when I see the UFOs with the night visions and people wonder, how can that be? We don't see them any time in the day. You're going to get skeptics at anything. And, you know, some people would be upset if you shot them with a golden bullet. But,
yeah, but let me ask you this. Before you did this movie, had you seen that pyramid?
Yeah, I seen things. I helped edit some film with Jose, and I looked over a lot of projects. There were some things that we wanted to bring you real bad to the movie, and it got messed up. And we couldn't just go out and reshoot it and do it over. And maybe at another time, or the movie that will come out to the theaters, maybe it'll get put back in it. But it's this is a premiere, this is a beginning, and we had so many people that were happy. There was only two or three people that were making comments that were negative. And, you know, I think that's pretty good. If you can make 95 or 97% of the people appreciate and happy with what you did, well, you've made a big score, because I think the human race has a high percentage of negative people, and some of that negativity they want to give to other people so that they can make themselves normal and instead of abnormal.
All right, let's switch topics just a moment. You and I had planned to go out and do some sky watching tonight, but as we're seated here on the balcony, we can see it's still very much overcast. It's been raining for 2 days here, maybe longer. It was raining when I landed, and it rained all yesterday and last night and all of today. It's been raining off and on, and it's overcast now, so we're not going to get to do the sky watching. But you've got your equipment with some of your equipment here. If you will, just
this is one of the pair of night vision glasses. And I actually, my friend Bill that goes out on Skywatch is with me. I asked him to go look for a fishing pole and a frisbee. And I was just going to hang it out over the balcony and fake you out and see if you thought you saw him. But, it's a matter of if the sky is cooperating, they're out there. And these will help you find them and see them. Cheap models will not.
I don't know if people can see this. Let's try to get it in the light here. Can you hold the microphone for me right about there? All right. What you have here is, on this side, looks like binoculars. I hope people can see this. You have two eyepieces where you can look in, and then it comes out through a single lens here. And this is what is used, what Ed uses for doing his sky watching. Now, when you videotape, do you videotape through one of these eyepieces?
Well, I usually look at the aperture of the eyepieces, and I usually hook an eyepiece up with an adapter to a camera, and then I film from one side and help spot and see them on the other. And I like to have a number of people looking, and they kind of help spot them, and then we can focus on them. And, you know, the thing is, that's great about these that when you get to looking at it and knowing how to use them, there's certain things that I tell people how to do when I take them out on a watch. And
all right, folks, it's time for us to take our top of the hour break. We're going to do that, and we'll be back right after this. Let's go back to our interview with Ed Grimsley. He's the night vision guy, you know.
This is Kevin Smith. I'm in Burbank.
To looking at it and knowing how to use them. There's certain things that I tell people how to do when I take them on a watch. And when the people start doing that, they start seeing the spacecraft and they find them. And they get very excited and very happy. And they just are can't wait to get back. And it makes me feel really good that I can take people out and show them the real deal. And, you know, there's times when I get such a negative comment that people are saying, oh, he's seeing bugs and birds and the guy's a fruitcake and there's no such thing as aliens. You know, and recently Edgar Mitchell said, there's aliens. I'm an astronaut. I couldn't tell you before, but I'll tell you now, there is aliens. There's ETs. We've been visited. Well, they didn't walk here. They didn't swim here. They came in spacecraft. And when I show people, hello airplane, but when I show people spacecraft, or when I show them four or five flying together, and sometimes they're way up there, 200 miles out in the sunlight, and the sun's shining on them, and it's very dark, you wouldn't see them unless they were spacecraft. Now, there's times when a bug will fly by and you'll see a moth fluttering by and a little reflection on him. There's times when a bat will come by or a bird. And, you know, once you see a few things, you understand what they are, you see what they are, and you'd have to be retarded not to know what you're seeing. It's very, but then again, that's why they call me Special Ed.
Let me say this. I have seen some video clips where you see birds fly by. And, you know, through night vision, a bird looks like a bird looks without night vision, except that the night vision simply makes it more visible at nighttime. It still looks like a bird.
I do when I take them out on a watch. And when the people start doing that, they start seeing the spacecraft and they find them. And they get very excited and very happy, and they just are can't wait to get back. And it makes me feel really good that I can take people out and show them the real deal. And, you know, there's times when I get such a negative comment that people are saying, oh, he's seeing bugs and birds, and the guy's a fruitcake, and there's no such thing as aliens. You know, and recently, Edgar Mitchell said, there's aliens. I'm an astronaut. I couldn't tell you before, but I'll tell you now, there is aliens. There's ETs. We've been visited. Well, they didn't walk here. They didn't swim here. They came in spacecraft. And when I show people, hello, airplane. But when I show people spacecraft, or when I show them four or five flying together, and sometimes they're way up there, 200 miles out in the sunlight, and the sun's shining on them, and it's very dark. You wouldn't see them unless they were spacecraft. Now, there's times when a bug will fly by, and you'll see a moth fluttering by and a little reflection on him. There's times when a bat will come by or a bird. And, you know, once you see a few things, you understand what they are, you see what they are, and you'd have to be retarded not to know what you're seeing. It's very, but then again, that's why they call me Special Ed.
Let me say this. I have seen some video clips where you see birds fly by. And, you know, through night vision, a bird looks like a bird looks without night vision, except that the night vision simply makes it more visible at nighttime. It still looks like a bird. But when we look at the things that you're looking at up in space, on this video, on this DVD, and I don't know, folks, whether you can see this, but this is UFO Wars. It's Ed Grimsley's DVD. It's called Night Vision UFO Wars, Objects in Earth's Space Shooting It Out. In this DVD, you will see objects that are very clearly not satellites, very clearly not bugs, not birds. And they're flying in formation, they're doing maneuvers, they're doing things that satellites, birds, and bugs don't do. And they look like what they are, and they look like UFOs.
Wouldn't that be scary if birds could shoot each other down?
Ed, where do you go from here? You've been part of making this movie, Moon Rising. You've got your own DVD out here called UFO Wars. You're traveling around the country doing sky watches and showing people, letting them see for themselves through your night vision equipment that there are things aflight in space that we normally call UFOs. So, but where do you go from here now? What's next?
Well, I've got some people offered me to have my own radio shows and interview other people. I've also had some people talking about getting me my own TV show, like a celebrity sky watch, and where I take celebrities and well-known people, and I would take them out. We'd interview them first, and then show them the sky view, and then film it, and bring back the film, and then show what they got to see on the screen, and do a TV show like that. And I would really like to do that, but at the same time, it'd be maybe more work than I can handle right now. And I gave the world my phone number. In fact, if you don't have it, it's 707-478-2540. And if you're intelligent, you're invited to call me. Do it at 9 in the morning till 9 at night, and have some respect for me. And I try to answer all I can, but there's so many times that I'll get so many phone calls from all around the world. I've had calls from Russia, Germany, Finland, South America, Japan, and I don't speak French and I don't speak Japanese, so if you do call me, we're going to have a communication problem, but I'll laugh along with you. And all I can say is that I think the world really needs the truth. We got to get it out there and show what's happening. And I'm trying to do that. And all of a sudden, it's made me really famous. And I don't feel like I'm famous because I'm still me. I walk around town. I go in. I still eat with a knife, spoon, and a fork. And when I see a hungry person on the street, I'll give them a couple bucks or invite them in for a lunch at McDonald's with me. And that's the kind of person I am. And it's so funny, but it's irritating, that some guy will email you or call you up and he'll tell you you're a damn nut and there's no aliens and you need to sell your glasses and get therapy and take George Norrie with you because he saw them with you and they're impossible to see, and that I have a $250 pair of night vision and I've never seen a thing, and you're full of crap, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the issue is you've got to have good quality night vision. This pair right here, how much did these cost?
That pair right there, I bought a couple years back at a gun show, and I paid $3,900 plus tax. So I don't know, I'm probably in at about $4,200 for that pair. And the amount of entertainment that that one pair has given people is amazing. So I went out and bought more pairs, and I keep trying to get as many pairs as I can. I went and got a big crystal flat screen TV, and I hook a camera into the night vision glasses and then put it out over the TV. And when I do that, then a group of people...
Yeah, we're that's the second helicopter that's sort of buzzed us here tonight.
Yeah, it's kind of neat because I used to fly helicopters a little bit, and I love helicopters, airplanes, fixed wings, gliders. I've flown all those, so I actually know quite a bit, too, about what an airplane looks like and what a UFO looks like. And
Lynn, we kind of have to wrap it up, but let me ask you this. When you leave here, we're out in Burbank, or the Los Angeles area. You leave here, you're headed where for the next Skywatch?
Well, I'm going back towards Laughlin to a place where we're going to put on a show in Laughlin, Nevada at the UFO Congress. It's an international congress. People come from all over the world. And I'll be speaking there. And during the nights, we're going to have people come out to us by bus. And we're going to work on skywatches and show them the UFOs and photograph some. And then we're going to be talking to the people. I think there's going to be 500-600 people there in the daytime and showing them glasses and how to use them. So that'll be the last week of February. And look it up on International UFO Congress. Get the dates. I believe I'm talking on Sunday on around 10 o'clock, if I remember, or 11. And we're going to do an hour talk then. And then just about every night we're going to try to go out. And I'm lining up all the people that are buying night vision of high quality and getting them a free pass to the show to come out and train with me on how to do this, how to find them, and which ones are which. Excuse me. You're going to see satellites. You're going to see bugs. You're going to see bats. You're going to see birds. But it is totally a total different object, different game. And when you see the UFOs, there's no doubt. And there's different shapes, the deltas, the ovals, the disc-shaped ones. And some that are very big and huge. In my movie, we show you seven discs that are more like a fighter craft. They're more of a patrol craft. And over Albuquerque, New Mexico, these craft, there was one that came in and stopped, a big craft, a mothership. And it was about 200 miles up. And she opened up her landing bay or whatever, and these came flying out two by two by two. Sounds like a story from Noah. But they went out and started flying off into space. And a friend of mine, George Gavori, and some other people that were helping, we had about 30 people that were scientists and people that were officials at that, and we were by poolside, and these craft got shown to all those people and put up on a big video screen, and people were amazed, and they know right there, no faking, no maneuvering, it was it, and we have it in the video, and they're flying across space, and when we zoom it up and show it to you, you'll have no doubts. These are seven spacecraft. And there was an eighth one that caught up late. we didn't get him in that picture, but he came in late because he exited the craft late, and he went extra fast and caught up with the rest of the group. Now, these groups will go out, and they'll patrol, and they'll break up in twos, usually, and they'll patrol different directions on the Earth, and sometimes you see them, and when they encounter another craft that's not invited or that they want to run them out of here, they'll maneuver and they'll fire beams and they'll blow each other up. And a lot of times at night when you're looking up and you got the glasses on, you'll see something way out in space and it looks like a flashbulb go off from a camera. And I think that those are explosions of maybe battles out there. We see a lot of battles close in, 200-300 miles up. Never seen one down low. I think that's not part of their rules of engagement, because if they blow one up within the atmosphere area, that debris is going to come raining down on Earth. If they blow one up 200 miles out in space, the debris is going to continue in the direction it was traveling in the vacancy of resistance, and somewhere here and there around the planet, on whatever day it would be, some of that debris is going to drop in and you're going to see it look like a little piece of meteorite or an object burning up, and you say, huh, look at that, a shooting star. And that's how I think it's been going on for a long time. The first battles I saw was in 1961, and it was an unbelievable, outrageous thing that I just...
And that one was without night vision, wasn't it?
Yes, we saw that in a real clear night overlooking the Sierras, and it was near an area called Jackson Meadow Reservoir and Weber Lake area outside of Truckee, California, and near Sierraville. And I was in a hunting camp, and we were setting it up and getting it ready for other people to come in, and there was a camp setting up next to us. And that night, I woke everybody up in my campground. I woke everybody up in the campground next to him. And I yelled at my dad, there's UFOs fighting up above us. And my dad says, you're dreaming, go back to sleep. And I says, no, Dad, get out of the tent and look. And he says, what? And he crawled out the door and he looked up and he says, my God, you're right. And they were blowing each other up. They were circling, chasing.
This was in 1961. Ed, we've run out of time, but man, this has been a great weekend, and it's a real pleasure for me to meet you in person. You've been on my show before several times, but to meet you in person and to get to talk with you in person about all of this is really a pleasure for me, and I want to thank you for being with us again and taking the time to come out here now at nighttime and talk with us on video.
Well, you know, I wanted to meet you and get you out here and see the real deal and try to show you some UFOs and that. And from what I understand, talking with you on the show and hearing you do other shows, you know, it doesn't matter to me what people say. I think you're pretty intelligent and you tell the truth.
All right. Thanks for that sort of side-handed compliment. I appreciate it. All right, folks, that's it.
From if I can't pick on you, I don't want to be your friend.
Fair enough. From Burbank, California, Kevin Smith.
And Ed Grimsley.
Well, I think you can tell we had a good time, and it really was. Ed Grimsley, what a character. Great guy. Now, what we're going to do, I'll tell you, we're going to open up the telephone lines because maybe you have questions or comments about what you've seen. Unfortunately, we cannot bring those people live on the air right here, right now, because they are traveling. And so we had to pre-record that. But if you have a question or a comment, or maybe you have night vision goggles and you have experienced this for yourself, you've been out there, you've looked, you've seen these things for yourself, If you have, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you've got the maybe you have the Ed Grimsley's DVD. Well, if you have his DVD, then we would like to hear from you. You've seen what we're talking about. You know what we're talking about, and we would love to hear from you. All right, the telephone number is 623-237-3814. Those of you watching on our Internet TV channel, it's on your screen. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from Timmins, Ontario.
How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm in Timmins tonight, not Iroquois Falls. I'm doing quite well. I've seen many UFOs. I think I got a little bit of claim to fame on the Kevin Smith Show with a UFO sighting about 11 months. Remember that one?
Yep.
With Dick Griswell. That's how I got to be. He brought me on with IPIS and all that. By the way, I spoke to Dick Griswell over the weekend.
And how is he doing?
He's doing quite well. I talked to them about some current issues, about what's been going on with the Middle East, and also here with our economy. Of course, you know, Dick can't always get a hold of the news right now, so, you know, we try to keep him informed whenever he can't get to a computer. So, yeah, Dick is doing quite well, and he'd like to thank everybody for all the prayers that he's been given, because he does truly believe that they have been helping. And but he still needs them. He still needs more prayers. So, and of course, he says, we both said that he's hoping to someday be back on the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, we're looking forward to that as well.
So am I. And of course, so we've been hearing about UFO. Apparently, there was a UFO crash in Saudi Arabia last week. I think I sent you the link for that, Kev.
Yeah, and there were some photographs of that as well.
Yeah, I saw those too. It's quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I hate to say that. I believe. I hate that word. I know I hate that word. Believe also, but I will believe the sources out in the Middle East when it comes to the UFO issue before I would believe any Western media.
Well, that's saying something. I don't believe any media.
Me also, but there are some independent media sources that do tell things like they are. At least they report it like they see it. You know,
if they're independent, then it is. You've got a better shot at it being true. If it's major media, you have a better shot at it being marketable.
Yeah, I trust independent media sources. You know, like Jesse Ventura likes to say, tells it like it is. That's what they do, the independent media. They tell it like it is. And those are the ones I pay attention to. And they're the ones that first broke the story about the Saudi Arabian UFO crash, actually. Some independent media.
So have you been keeping up with that story?
I've been trying to keep up with the story. I've been too busy worrying about the economy. I've been paying a lot of attention to Gerald Celente. So... I've been keeping some tabs on the UFO issue and UFO research, but I've been mainly focused on the economy and what I like to term, what I call it, economic terrorism is what I call it. But,
well, you know, I don't get into politics, but I am going to venture this statement. Don't worry about the economy. Doesn't do any good at all to worry about it. Politicians in every country are going to do whatever they want to do, and you're going to have to live with it. So there's no reason to worry about it because there's nothing we can do about it.
Oh, and I think one time I called, I mentioned something about Zechariah Sitchin, the guy cut
Yeah. Listen, I hate to cut you off this time. Do you want to hold on through the break?
Actually, I got to get to bed. I got to get to work tomorrow. So
All right.
I'll talk to you another time, Kev.
Thanks for the call. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Let's go to the telephone line. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Don here calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
How you doing tonight?
Outstanding, sir. How are you?
Good to have you back, bud.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, great show tonight, too.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I tell you, that story that William Rayling shared with us is a knockout. I mean, because
I was, you know, and that was fascinating.
It was. It was.
Especially the part where he says a 30-foot disc, but his father said he stuck his head inside and it was the size of a basketball stadium.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And he said that's how, if you ever look at one, if you ever get the chance, you can tell whether it's alien or not. Because if it's alien, it has that extra dimensional quality to it.
Well, I hope I get to look at one pretty soon.
Well, you might. You never know. This might be the night.
Never know. Hey, those night vision glasses, did Ed ever say if anybody rents those?
You know, I never asked that question, so it would not be fair for me to even venture a guess. I did have a chance to look. I mentioned that the clouds parted a little bit, and we were able to do a little bit of sky watching. And by the way, I saw two UFOs, but I was able to look through a cheaper set, and then through these top line expensive night vision goggles that Ed uses, and I can tell you there is a marked difference in what you can see and in how clear it is.
And you say cheap set? Well, like what? How cheap are you talking about?
$400-$500.
Okay.
And then the ones that. I looked through some that he paid about $3,500, something like that, and some that he paid over $4,000.
Yeah, I was just searching online for night vision goggles. There's quite a variety of them online. I just wondered if he has any particular recommendations. Or if they all work once they get up over the 4,000 hour mark.
Yeah, he not only has recommendations, but there is a guy that he works with. He doesn't get a commission off of this, but the guy gives any of his Skywatch people a really deep discount, and so you can get them at a lower price.
Yeah.
So you just need to get in touch with Ed Grimsley. And all of his contact information is over at edgrimsley.com.
Yeah, I found it there. I guess that'll be something I can afford once I sell one of my kidneys or something.
they're not cheap. They're not cheap.
Oh,
but it is amazing stuff.
Like,
and that's one of the reasons Ed travels. He travels around the country and holds sky watches. And people, you know, he gives you a little bit of a seminar on what you need to be looking for and how you look for it, and then takes you outside and you do the sky watch, but he does that because he has the equipment.
Well, maybe I'll make it over to Laughlin. That's not too far from us. When he's in Laughlin. When is it? The end of February?
Yeah, end of February.
Yeah, did he say anything about coming to Phoenix?
No.
No?
No.
So are you going to be going to Laughlin?
No.
No, you're not. Okay.
No, I wish I could, but I can't, because if I do that, the show suffers and, you know.
Broadcast from there.
Well, I'll tell you, these days, to broadcast from there would be moving three desktop computers and a laptop, two cameras, three microphones, a mixer, a set of two sets of speakers, and me.
Well, I thought you'd do something like you did with the Hollywood show, you know, do a pre-recorded thing.
Well, yeah, I guess I could do that, but I will be here.
Okay. Hey, have you ever thought about having, I just got off the phone with John tonight. I can't think of his last name. It starts with a B, the guy who was part of the Fort Benning incident, the 1,300 troops that was supposedly abducted.
I there are several of them. Let's see. I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his last name either. Vasquez,
is it? I can't pronounce it. Anyways, yeah, I wonder if you thought about having him back on.
Yeah, we might do that.
Yeah, he seemed anxious that he'd do another show. In fact, he contacted me, and he's talking about this recent development. There's a lot of talk about it. He talked to Stan Freeman about this UFO crash just happened a few years ago down near there. And there's a picture online that surfaced on that crash.
Yeah. Well, I'll look into it.
What's that?
I'll look into it.
Okay. Okay. Hey, Kevin. Good talking to you. I'm glad to see you back, and I'm glad you had a good time.
Well, I'm glad to be back. I did enjoy it, but I did work a lot, too.
Yeah, but, you know, it's fun work. I know how you're, without that type of work, man, you're bored.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, take care.
All right. All right, let's go to our other line. And, caller, if you're still on hold, your first name and from where are you calling?
Bob from California.
Okay, Bob, hang on and let me get this one on hold. And, all right, Bob, the floor is yours, sir.
The video for the night vision, that was really cool. I didn't realize that those DVDs were coming out right away, and I was happy to be able to get one right away because it seems like a really neat video.
It is. You will see in that video, he videotapes through his night vision equipment, and you will see in that video, in my opinion, absolutely unequivocal information. Visual information, you will see what you will immediately say, that's not a satellite, those are not stars, they're flying in formation and they're doing maneuvers and they're moving all over the place and they're fast, that's UFOs.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. So you were in that group of folks that ordered today, right?
Yep, uh-huh.
Okay, well, those are already packaged up and addressed, and they'll go in the mail in the morning, so you should be getting it pretty rapidly here.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I think when I get it, I'm going to save it to the next weekend. And as cool as it is for the information facts, I think I might just invite over a couple friends, and we might crack open a couple beers and just watch it and theorize about it. Kind of like a little intelligent party, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That sounds like a good idea.
I did have one quick question. Have you read anything lately on the quantum teleportation between the atoms that were a meter apart?
No.
It was posted on the 23rd. The first quantum teleportation between two atoms 1 meter apart happened, apparently, at one of the universities.
Well, that's good. I'll tell you something. I find it difficult to believe that we're still trying to work at that level, and that they have not succeeded in actual teleportation of real stuff.
Some kind of quantum entanglement for some reason.
Yeah,
it has to do with timing atoms, but you're right, it's nowhere near anything as far as teleporting physical objects, that's for sure.
Well, they were working on it, and I had information that they had succeeded, as long as it was not a living object, an animal of some type, that they could do it, and this was in the late 70s, and this was inside information.
That's pretty amazing. I guess the article just got me thinking, about information being carried as well as possible physical objects maybe getting unphysical and being transported among distances. It made me think that there's some kind of an information highway out there that's beyond the fabric of space that we might be able to connect to and use as some kind of a medium.
Well, that's it may be. And it may be that this is the next generation of what they were doing in the 70s.
I had one question about the night vision video.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I totally think that those things are going on, but I'm just curious, is it because it's interdimensional or because they stay ultraviolet? How come there hasn't been very many that we've actually seen crash? If there's all those things going on and they're actually attacking these things, you'd think there'd be debris going everywhere, right?
Well, it's in space. It's not in our atmosphere.
Oh, and so most of those things are going on above the atmosphere then?
Yeah. I'll tell you something. When you look through these top flight, I mean, you know, the best night vision that can be bought, you will see stars that, I mean, you know, when I first looked through them, I'm looking through a momentary hole in the clouds.
Uh-huh.
And as I looked up with my eyes, I didn't see any stars.
Uh-huh.
In the, you know, through that particular hole in the clouds. I put the night vision goggles up, and the heavens lit up. I mean, I could see lots of stars out there that I couldn't see with the naked eye. And then I saw two UFOs.
Those were the expensive goggles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those things, those babies are a lot of money. I was actually thinking about that on the way over here, that it's good that you went over there and checked it out. And they made these videos because most people can't really afford to have that experience. And now it's like we're out there and we can have our own house.
Yeah. And if you're ever near where he's doing a sky watch, you need to go and do the sky watch.
You know what? I might actually check out his site because I am in California, and that would be totally cool.
Yeah. He's going to be at the UFO conference in Laughlin at the end of February, and he'll be doing a sky watch. And so that, you know, if you have the time and it's not too far for you, depending on where you are in California, get over to Laughlin and get in on that sky watch. It will, if the sky is clear and you're able to do the sky watch, it'll blow you away.
Well, you can see the stars out a lot better in those kind of places, like out in the Nevada areas and maybe where you're at, as opposed to some of the city areas in, like, Southern California. So it might be better that he's holding them out there as opposed to, like, Hollywood, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, look, I kept saying Burbank. I was a few blocks from Burbank. I was in North Hollywood. And we went out on the parking lot of the hotel with all the lights, you know, around the parking lot and everything. And, you know, I'm sure things were not as good as if you're in a really dark place, but I still saw two.
Wow. Wow, that's absolutely amazing. Those goggles are powerful.
Yeah, they are.
Interesting. Well, I'll let another caller come on, and I'll be waiting for that video.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah, it is amazing. It's the kind of thing that, you know, unless you do it, you can't imagine it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we will continue with your calls and your comments. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are taking your telephone calls and your questions, your comments about what we've seen here tonight. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Maybe if I push that button, things will work better. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Mark out of Los Angeles.
Well, how are you doing?
By Radio LA.
I'll tell you what. Folks, this is the owner and general manager of iRadio LA, They carry our show out in Los Angeles and distribute it throughout the world. Mark, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I just want to tell you it was a pleasure to finally meet you in person out there in Hollywood. And again, I want to emphasize, even though I didn't get a chance to see anything moving that night because of the cloud, I was very, very impressed on how those goggles work. And like we were just mentioning a few minutes ago, even though you couldn't see even a star, you put the goggles on and you can see through the cloud.
Yeah.
And it was just phenomenal.
It really was. And maybe tomorrow night I can, maybe I'll show the video of when we were out on the parking lot doing the sky watching. We got a few shots of that. And at least people will get a chance to see who you are.
Okay. Yeah, but it was fun. In fact, if I had the money, I would go out and buy a pair of those NVGs tomorrow because I was so impressed on what you can see. And then talking to Ed and yourself about what he is seeing, I was even more impressed, and I want to see this, you know, the battles.
Mm-hmm. Do you now you've got Ed's video, right?
Yes. Yeah, I watched part of it last night, and the raw footage has some really good parts in it where you can physically see the discs.
Yeah, and you can tell for sure it is not stars. You can tell for sure that it's not satellites. They're flying in formation. They're doing maneuvers. You can tell, you know, that this is UFO stuff.
Yeah, and again, like you know, everybody mentioned, birds and satellites don't make drastic changes like that. And but I was just blown away. I mean, kind of skeptical before, but when you see this and actually see through the goggles, you become a believer.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, I tell you what, I'm a believer in. I don't believe much of anything, but I am a true believer in that Thai restaurant we went to. That was fabulous food. Fabulous
still
food.
Still paying for that.
Do what?
I'm still paying for that.
Oh, are you? Well,
that was really good food. That was real good food.
It was indeed. Well, Mark, it was a pleasure to get to meet you in person, and it was a lot of fun to do the sky watching together. I wish that the clouds had not been so thick, and you know, but it is what it is. And I'm sorry you didn't get to see any. I saw two when we first got back, and we were out on the front parking lot. I saw two, and then the clouds covered it over, and I couldn't see anymore.
Yeah, I think Bill said that he saw a couple as well. And, you know, I don't know if I saw something or not because it was kind of hard to tell when the clouds were moving. But, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, I saw one when I couldn't identify it or say that, I saw it.
Yeah.
But I just could not believe what you can see with those goggles and how far out you can see them.
Yeah, and I'm sure you noticed that you could see stars or galaxies out there that you can't see with the naked eye.
Oh, yeah. it just blew me away. I mean, I'm lost for words to explain to everybody what this was like, and I didn't even get a chance to see anything. It just, you know, or any UFOs or anything like that, but just what you can see, and on a clear night, I mean, next time he's in the area, I'm definitely going to go there. I would love to go to Arizona because that would be a perfect place to view them.
Yeah, come out here and we'll go up on one of these mountains.
Yeah. And again, like you were saying as well, the parking lot was, you know, had all the parking lot lights in there. We could still see perfect, you know, still see great with those glasses. So, yeah, I would have to tell the kids or something like that to purchase one. But yeah, if you have the money, they are definitely worth getting.
Yeah, they are. They really are. Mark, Has there been any problem at all with our transmission tonight?
Not at all tonight. I think tonight it's been working really well. And, in fact, I'm listening to you on an actual radio set that we have, and it sounds beautiful.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, listen, I appreciate the call.
I just wanted to get in there and tell everybody that, this was very, very interesting, and it blew me away. I mean, like I said, I'm kind of skeptical beforehand. I've always been interested in this stuff, but I was kind of skeptical. And then when I saw these through the glasses, I can't stop talking about it. I've been talking to everybody about it since then.
I have to say it kind of blew me away, too, because I've used night vision, but I've never used anything as good as those. And those were just phenomenal.
Well, if I would have known about this 20-some-odd years ago when I was in the military in the Special Forces, because we had night vision, I would have been looking up instead of out.
All right. Well, listen, man, I got to run. Thanks for the call.
Okay, Kevin. Thank you. Good show.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, that's Mark Maverick, the owner and general manager of iRadio LA Indy 104, our affiliate that carries the show out in Los Angeles. All right, we have time for one more really quick call. If you want to give us a call, the telephone line is open, and we'll be more than happy to take your call. Telephone number is 623-237-3814. And let's take this quick call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Let's try it again. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Boomer calling from Ladysmith, British Columbia. How you doing?
Outstanding. How are you doing, sir?
I'm glad to hear you had a good weekend. I'm the other night vision guy. I just wanted to say, aren't those good glasses impressive to look at?
They are indeed.
And about the stars, isn't it amazing what you can see out there that you would never know?
Yeah, I saw things I've never seen.
Yeah,
I saw stars and galaxies I've never seen before.
Yeah, they're just amazing. I've had mine almost a year now, and I guess on the coast up here, in B.C., don't get near the action as, what Ed's getting down there by the sounds of it. I think it's more of a U.S. phenomenon. I certainly have seen quite a few, but not as many. It doesn't seem as busy over Canada. So I think a lot of it's got to be American, forces up there, too.
Could be. I don't know who they are or what they are. I know what they're not.
Yes, yes. Things don't stop and go turn around and go backwards and right angles.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Boomer, I appreciate the call, man, but the end of the show is on us.
We're out of time. Thanks,
Kevin.
Glad you had a good trip. Good talking to you.
Thank you. All right, folks. That's it. That's a wrap for this evening. I hope you've had a good time. I hope it's been interesting for you. And I'll tell you, it's just phenomenal stuff. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.